In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have gathered around Thy holy face to examine Thy Word, we ask, dear Father, that You would open our hearts and our minds to receive that portion that You have chosen for us today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. First, I would like to bring greetings from the few brothers and sisters in faith. They're in the Iron Range. I was able to be there last Sunday, and they asked that I would relay their greetings to you. We will read the Word of God, which is recorded in the 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning from verse 31 until the end of the verse, end of the chapter. And we hear these words in Jesus' name as follows. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye, blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? Then the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, When saw we Thee an hungered, or at thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. As we were singing the opening song, there was one verse in particular that struck me. Thank you, Lord, for vineyard workers and the living seed they sow. The brothers that God has appointed to serve from this in this capacity we come here with many doubts and many times empty. And the psalm writer is thanking for the vineyard workers. And I feel that I'm not a very willing worker. And feeling empty, this verse continues that the living seed that they sow, that when we come here, we feel that we have, I feel that I have nothing to offer you. Can I believe my many sins and doubts forgiven? But we also, through faith, we understand that God is a almighty and powerful God. So sometimes the sermons that we hear, they could be a little bit longer. Sometimes they can be a little bit shorter. But whatever it is that we need for our life of faith, God will grant us that in our time of need. And we humbly are content with God, with what God has chosen to grant unto us. This portion that we read, we read from the Gospel of Matthew from the 25th chapter. And it is toward at the very end of a little bit longer sermon that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And if we go back to when he began to speak to them into the beginning of the sermon, right before that, Jesus showed the disciples. He showed them of the temple that is to be destroyed. And Jesus told his disciples that, Verily I say unto you, that there shall not be left here one stone upon another. And in my simple mind, I'm thinking that Jesus here is speaking of a bigger picture, that all these things that you see with your natural eyes when you're here, same thing with us when we look around in our nature. We see mountains, lakes, trees, fields, houses, you know, different things. And Jesus said that all these things, they will be one time no more. They're all going to be gone. That's what our theme for last Sunday reminded us of, to be watchful. Just as we heard when the brother spoke from Matthew and Revelations. To be watchful in our life of faith, to be travel ready. And that is what Jesus wishes to teach his disciples. This longer sermon that he spoke comes about, I think, about 2 days before he was crucified. Just a few days before Easter. So Jesus wanted to reiterate one more time the importance of being watchful and be ready for when the end of time comes. And he reminded them that these things that you see, there will come a time when they will be no more. And then he went to the Mount of Olives with the disciples, and they came there with him. And the disciples, they had a question to Jesus, a very important question in their minds. And they asked him that, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. I think into our reasoning also, this is a very important question for our mind, to know when will the end of the world come. But as we have heard, Jesus has said that not even the angels in heaven will know when that time will come. But he simply answers the disciples that say, and said, take heed that no man deceive you. So he didn't directly answer the disciples their specific question, when exactly the end of the world will come. But he told them to be watchful in faith. And last Sunday's theme of being watchful is followed with today's theme, and they, in some ways, they go hand in hand. Today is Judgment Sunday. And our text begin that the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. These things Jesus spoke unto his disciples, as I mentioned, shortly before he was crucified. So there was those that were not believing and strongly opposing the teaching and the spirit of Jesus, that were at this time, they were plotting, scheming ways to arrest and to kill Jesus. Many of those that had followed Jesus to this point, they are no longer following him. There were, of course, believers that remained to this day, but there were also those that had left his teaching and did not believe him. And Jesus has told his disciples more than one time that he will depart from their midst, and gave them examples or parables that he will be crucified and they will mock him, scourge him, they will beat him, and then they will kill him. And the disciples didn't fully understand what Jesus meant. In fact, in the beginning, they did not know that it was him that he was speaking about. But after a while, it became more evident to them that it is our Lord and Savior Jesus who will go through this. The one that has helped us and taught us and done these great miracles before our eyes, he will die. And I'm sure that they were afraid and trembling at the thought that what will we do when he is no longer in our midst? And I'm sure they were fearful and scared about the future. And in the 34th verse in our text, if we think of being watchful in our personal life of faith, we put sin away when sin does attach. And our hearts and consciences remain tender. What will happen when the end of time comes? Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand. On the right hand, as you remember, is where Jesus gathered all the believers. Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I think if we think of standing before God, knowing that God can see everything, even into our thoughts, we do tremble at the thought. But the Bible has promised us that when we endeavor to put sin away and remain in a place of a child, that Jesus, that God will look upon us through his only Son, Jesus Christ. And he will look upon the believers, dear brothers, dear sisters, dear doubting one. He will look upon you as one who has finished the course. You have fought a good fight, and you are without sin before God. God can see even the smallest amount of faith that we have in our thoughts or in our hearts. The Bible also says that if there was such amount as a mustard seed, and I think if I would be holding a mustard seed here, no one would be able to see it from where you are sitting. If we had that amount, we could move mountains with that. So it is much, much less than that that is required to inherit the glory of heaven. And dear brothers and sisters, it is also good that we are reminded of this, that little is much in God's hands. I think when we look into our own hearts, we can see so little good and very little faith, if any. But when you endeavor in the footsteps of the sheep, you are on the right path when you put your sins away and most and foremost believe your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. So even now you can uplift your hearts and believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, and hold on to this gift that God has given you. You will once reap the rewards in heaven. Then Jesus here speaks to his disciples, and he tells them, he characterizes a believer of what believers do. And he spoke to the disciples, and he says that when Jesus was hungry, they fed him. And when he was thirsty, they gave him drink. And when he was a stranger, they took him in. When he was naked, they clothed him. And when he was sick, they visited him. And I think this is something that the disciples will remember later on as they do the work in the vineyard. I think they will remember these words of Jesus. And it is good for us to also be reminded that when we do these things, when we help one another, we are serving God. That is what Jesus wishes to tell his disciples. But the disciples did not understand this. And Jesus said that then shall the righteous answer him, saying that when we saw thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty, when gave we drink? When we saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked, or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? If we think of the life of Apostle Paul, in our last Bible class, we were in the book of Acts, and we studied some parts of the life of Apostle Paul. And he ended up also in prison. Him and Silas, they were imprisoned because they spoke the word of God, and the world around them became offended, and they threw them into prison. But as we can read from the Bible, God did not forget his chosen vessels. God remembered them there in prison. And also, they were people in prison that that wanted to have their sins forgiven. But I think when Jesus speaks of the prison here, it is not only the prison as we know it, but also those who are imprisoned by the shackles of sin. As we remember, God gifted the Spirit unto His believers when they were awaiting for the Comforter to appear, and it came as a roaring wind with lots of noise and cloven tongue of fire. The Spirit of God was gifted unto believers in the morning of the new covenant time. And every believer from that time forward, every believer can preach the forgiveness of sins. We can help one another, brothers and sisters in faith, just like Jesus spoke in this text, that we can visit the sick when we are thirsty or hungry, that we remember one another. But also those who are bound by the shackles of sin. We can lose those shackles with the message of the gospel when they believe their sins forgiven. And the Bible also testifies that when a brother or a sister in faith preaches the forgiveness of sins here upon this earth, God also forgives in heaven. So that those doings that are happening here upon the earth, they are known unto our Heavenly Father in heaven. That may also serve as a reminder for all of us that are here today, that wherever we are, if nobody can see us, when we can't see anyone with our own eyes, remember that God can see where you are and what you are doing. We cannot hide from God. I think that is important for everyone to remember, and to teach our young children from early age that God can see wherever we are and whatever we do. Then Jesus here switches the minds of the disciples and also ours, and he speaks of those who are not in the kingdom of God, those who do not believe in the Word of God, and those who have forsaken this gift of faith. And he speaks of their condition, that they, and I'm not going to read all the verses again, but we can get a sense that the spirit of those on the outside of God's kingdom, it is different from the Spirit of God. He says, that then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, and they are those who are not taken into the glory of heaven. That God will tell them to depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. From the beginning of time, your place in heaven has been prepared for you. That is the case for every believer, regardless of where they are. Likewise, God has prepared an everlasting fire that is prepared for those who are out on the outside of God's kingdom and the devil. And then Jesus speaks of the reasons why they are not allowed into heaven. It's because they did not clothe him. They did not visit him. And they were not able to feed him. Why are they not able to feed him? Because they do not own the gift of faith, the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is a spirit that feeds us. It encourages us. It uplifts us. And sometimes it rebukes us. Whatever it is that the Spirit of God does, dear brothers and dear sisters, remember too that we need to humble ourselves and pray to God that we would remain in the way of a child, that we would take the instructions from the kingdom of God. There are times when we are feeling so fearful and so down and so oppressed by sin that we need to be encouraged and uplifted. And the Word of God does that. The message of the gospel, which I have personally experienced even today, it is uplifting. It encourages. But the Spirit of God also can bring us down from our high place and down to the very bottom. It rebukes us. It humbles us. Whatever it is, trust, dear brother, dear sister, that the Spirit of God will continue to care for us to this day. Uplift your hearts, brothers and sisters, and believe all your sins and all your doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, all your sins are forgiven. And when we continue to battle against the enemy of souls, against the world and our own flesh and blood, we will hear that call that Jesus speaks in this text. Come ye, the blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.